And it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're listening live over at Joy 620 or via the podcast at investinghope.com, of course, you can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, wherever podcasts are found, the TuneIn app, or you can just go to our website and listen, whatever's easiest for you. Today, we have a lot to talk about. And I know it's kind of odd because there's not really anything going on in the news or around the country, but I wish that was true. But man, oh man, oh man. I mean, does it mean that I'm officially old when I find myself saying, man, what a time to be alive? I have used that phrase in my head to people, to pastors, to friends, to whoever will listen. I have said, you know, what do you think about what's going on? And I'll go, what a time to be alive. I mean, really, 2020 is just, I remember people back in 2019 saying, man, I can't wait till 2019's over. I'm so excited about a new year. 2019 was rough, ready for 2020. And 2020 came in guns a-blazing. I mean, goodness gracious, it has been, man, it's been something. You know, we had the pandemic, which slowly trickled in, starting in, you know, what we know now, starting in January, maybe even before then in certain parts of the country. And then around March, we started seeing safe at home orders and, you know, pretty much in every state, you know, minus just a few. And then April came and the stay at home orders were extended. And then here locally, we were like, yeah, we can't go to a restaurant. You can do curbside, but you got to wear a mask. And then back in January, they were saying, don't wear a mask. And then they were saying, we need to wear a mask. And it's just been all over the place. All over the place. It has been, you know, the last few weeks we talked about and focused on nursing home deaths because that seems to be a story that hasn't gotten the coverage that it deserves. And unfortunately, over the last week or so, it started to get some traction. And then some bad things happen. And the cable news outlets, most news outlets, have completely shifted their focus. And now, you know, we were told just last week, I just saw a news story last week. I think it was May 25th. And they spent 8 minutes talking about people at Gulf Shores at the beach in Alabama, saying how awful it was that they were all at the beach without masks and what do they want? Do they want everybody to get COVID? And then you fast forward to this week and people are out in mass gatherings and riots and looting. And, you know, we're not hearing a lot about COVID anymore. Now, let's provide some context, okay? So last week, I think it was last week, a man named George Floyd was murdered in Minneapolis. And look, I'm not sugarcoating what happened. That's exactly what it was. It was murder. And so I have a lot of opinions about a lot of things concerning our culture, political environment, and life. I mean, if you listen to this show every single week, or if you've listened to me talk or read anything that I've wrote or anything like that, you know good and well I have a lot of opinions about a lot of things. I'm always a proponent of gathering information and being careful as we make conclusions. You see, the old me, the young me that was in, you know, political science major in college, worked in politics, the old me jumped too quickly and spouted off nonsense before critically thinking through the information in front of me. That's what I did. Still struggle with that. I've calmed with age, but, you know, for the most part. But see, the murder of George Floyd by an officer, a police officer in Minneapolis, is not a case where I need more time. It's clear. That man, regardless of what crime he allegedly committed, was murdered. The act of holding him down by kneeling on his neck was cowardly, irresponsible, and unacceptable. And thankfully, officers were fired because of it. And ultimately, the officer that put his knee on the neck of George Floyd for almost 9 minutes has been arrested. You see, folks, we must be better. We must be better. And what I've found, and we're going to continue to talk about this throughout the show today, what's been interesting to me is, oftentimes when we see cases like this, whether it be police brutality or someone dies at the hand of an officer, whether it was warranted or not, We have folks that'll jump on two different sides. You know, I stand with the police no matter what, or I stand against the police no matter what, or this was racism, or this is systematic racism, or this was this, or this was that. Look, the reality is with this particular case, looking at this particular case in Minneapolis with George Floyd, I haven't come across anyone. Not one. That is saying what the officer did was right. I've come across no one that would argue that officer shouldn't have been arrested. But see, watch your news feeds and you pay attention, you're glued to the cable news channels. You would think that half of the populace is against George Floyd. That's just not true. It's not. Conservatives, liberals, independents, libertarians, everybody, white, black, every color in between, has come out and said what happened in Minneapolis was wrong. Now, did it take the authorities a little too long to arrest that officer? 100%. It absolutely did. Did it take them a little longer than it should have to fire those officers? Yes. Now, there's a number of reasons why that takes a long time. And so we should come out and say, hey, this is right, this is wrong, and call evil what is evil. There was an African-American man last week that should be alive today. He should be alive today, but he was killed last week. That's not me stoking the flames or anything like that. That's not me trying to be overly dramatic. That's the reality. His death was not warranted, period. And most people that hear that agree. I would say 90%, if not more. And so what has come of that is protest. We live in the greatest country this planet has ever seen. We have freedoms in this country that most countries would literally die for. We have the freedom to protest. That's why it's interesting to me when people say whether the president in the Oval Office is a Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. They've all at some point in time been compared to Hitler. They've all at some point in time, someone has said they're like a dictator. Folks, come on. Come on. If this president or any president before him was like a dictator, people would have been slaughtered in the streets. All these protests and rioting and looting that's going on, that would have ended immediately. But because we have the freedom to protest and the right to protest, what you have seen, for the most part, has been somewhat peaceful. And then you have bad actors within those protests. You have people, the authorities in Minneapolis said the other day, everybody we arrested tonight was from out of state. So you have people coming in from other states causing damage. Here in our state, in Tennessee, we had a guy from East Tennessee go to Nashville and start a fire at a historic courthouse. You had people go and spray paint at the Capitol and Legislative Plaza and all that area, break windows and try to break lights and set fires and all these things. So you're going to have some bad folks in there. No question. We're going to have some bad cops. No question. The question that we have to ask ourselves as Christians, and the reason I'm posing this to Christians is because, look, I'm not naive. I would say the vast majority of the folks that listen to this show would claim to be a Christian. So what does this mean for the gospel? What does this mean for the kingdom? What is our focus? Where do we hang our hat? When we see an image bearer killed in the street, does that bother us or does it make us go, well, hold on. If I make this statement, what's that going to look like to conservatives? Or if I make this statement, what's that going to look like to liberals? How's it going to affect my patriotic stance? How's it going to affect my political stance? What's this mean for the next election? Folks, look, I'm telling you this from a recovering idolater when it comes to politics. That's a dangerous place to be when you see your neighbor taking his last breath and your first instinct is, what does this mean for the next election? It's a dangerous place to be. So we have to be better. We have to do better. Yeah, I was at a conversation with my son the other day because he's nine. And my wife called me. I was at work and my wife called and said, do you want to talk to your son? And typically when that is the beginning of the conversation, that means that my son has made a bad choice. And so it isn't really a question for my wife if do I want to talk to my son. It is I need you to talk to our son. And so I said, put him on the phone. And apparently him and his little sister got into an argument and he shoved her on the couch. Okay. So what kind of conversation did I have with my son? I said, be better. First off, these are the only siblings you're going to have ever. God chose your sister to be your sister out of everyone that's ever walked the planet. That matters. And that should determine how you treat her. Second, men do not put their hands on women in a physical aggressive manner like that. Period. End of story. Doesn't happen. And we're not going to do that in the Woodhouse, and you're not going to do that to your little sister. Be better. And then I told him, God put men on earth to protect. Not to harm, but to protect. So there may be one day where he needs to put his hands on somebody because he's protecting his sister. But the last thing he needs to do is put his hands on his sister out of aggression because he's angry. That's not how we react. And so for some of us, what we're finding is we've been quarantined for what seems like a year. I don't know how long, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it is. And so a lot of folks they have a lot of built up aggression. They're mad about a lot of things. They've lost their job, unemployment's at record numbers. Bank accounts are going low. The store is out of toilet paper. All of these things are occurring, and then you bring in what happened in Minneapolis and we explode. And look, a lot of people are saying, man, we need a president that could fix this. And Joe Biden is doing a speech and saying, hey, when I get in the Oval Office, we're going to make a change. Look, here's the reality, folks. If you're waiting around for the Oval Office to save you, you're going to be waiting for a long, long time. Joe Biden has been in an elected office since 1970. He's been an elected official since 1970, and he spent 8 years as the Vice President of the United States. Oh, but now in 2020, he's changed. Look, folks, we cannot wait around for the change to occur in Washington. It has to start in our communities. Loving your neighbor. Disengaging from social media and actually engaging socially with people. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children.
So as we continue the conversation today, look, we're going to talk a lot about what's going on in our society, not just COVID. We've talked about that quite a bit. We're going to look at what's currently happening around our country. I mean, it's happening in big cities around the U.S. It's happening here in Knoxville. Although Knoxville seems to be one of the more peaceful areas when it comes to protesting. But, you know, New York City last night in downtown, you had looting and breaking of windows all down Broadway and major areas, to the point that the governor of New York, Governor Cuomo, came out and said the leadership of Mayor de Blasio during this has been atrocious, and he's about to step in and take over. The governor said that. Look, so what we've seen through COVID, what we've seen through these latest riots and protests and looting and all of these things, we have witnessed some amazing leadership. I think personally here in Tennessee, Governor Lee has really handled all of this well and done such an amazing job as he juggled tornadoes and pandemic and now riots and those things. I think even here locally in Knox County, Glenn Jacobs has done an amazing job trying to balance all of that. And then we've seen across the board some not so great moments of leadership, like that of Mayor de Blasio in New York City. Some of the mayors around this country. We've seen areas where nursing homes were just left out to dry, and deaths have just catapulted in those areas. But as we look specifically at these riots and protests, I want to offer you something. You see, the old me would have seen these riots and protests through the lens of politics, just like I was saying earlier. What will they mean for the elections coming up, both locally and nationally? Will this help my team or not? But that's not my view today. The brokenness we currently see in our world is raw and very real. Is the system broken? That's what you hear a lot about. Hey, we have systematic racism. The system is broken. So let's ask ourselves, is the system broken? Well, the answer to that is, of course it is. Of course. Every man-made system fails at some point. This, of course, doesn't mean we just sit back and do nothing. And if you listen to this show often enough, you know that I'm not telling you to sit back and do nothing. I've been saying get engaged and do something in your community. We obviously should strive for the best and hold people accountable, as most seem to be doing right now. Our news outlets and our social media feeds are full of the hateful rhetoric that is being spewed by a few while they attempt to ignore the unity that has surfaced around this country and around the death of George Floyd and the subsequent arrest of the officer that took his life. We, as a nation, have faced a great deal in 2020. We've seen tornadoes wipe out homes here in Tennessee, a pandemic bring everything to an abrupt stop, unwarranted deaths at the hands of bad acting cops, and now places of worship, businesses, and communities being looted and burned. I could give you a political assessment of where we are and what this might mean for November, but I would rather offer something to you with a little more meaning. Maybe we struggle to answer God's commandment of loving our neighbor as ourselves because we don't really love ourselves all that much. Listen to that again. Maybe we struggle to answer God's commandment of loving our neighbor as ourselves because we don't really love ourselves all that much. Maybe, just maybe, we have created an environment on our social media feeds that is a facade. Real life is hard. Real life brings hurt, trials, and temptations. Real life forces us to recognize that our black brothers and sisters are hurting. Real life forces us to recognize that our law enforcement officers have impossible jobs. Real life forces us to look in the mirror and realize that we, in fact, don't have it all together. You see, we have a choice moving forward. Will we truly listen to those around us that are hurting? Will we assume the best of those we come in contact with? Will we provide grace even when that grace wasn't earned or deserved? We have a choice today and every single day from this point on. Will we choose love, hate, or indifference? Now, only you can make that decision. You see, I've often thought about the words of Jesus in Matthew 22. He says this, "You shall love the Lord with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." These words seem simple enough. The Pharisees just asked Jesus about the greatest commandment, and he responded with a very brief summary of love your God and love your neighbor. Now, this sounds easy on the surface, but in practice, this is quite difficult. You see, my neighbor has hurt me. My neighbor died in Minneapolis as my neighbor jammed his knee on my neighbor's neck. My neighbor is crying today because they feel disenfranchised in a system that has robbed them for many years. My neighbor set fire to a historic courthouse in Nashville this week. Now, you see how difficult this is when we include the gospel into loving our neighbor? You see, our neighbors are hurting. All of them are. The question we must ask ourselves is this: how are we going to love through this? What are we going to do to see change come that will put our country and this globe on the right path? This can certainly be assisted by members of both political parties in the halls of our state capitals and in D.C., but we will never see an ultimate shift until we truly understand what it means to love our neighbor. Will we choose to do the hard stuff? And I'm praying this understanding comes sooner rather than later. So are we choosing to do the hard stuff? Are we willing to do the hard stuff? You know, it's easy. Man, it's easy to just scroll through social media. It's easy to post that picture on Instagram because everybody else is posting it today. It's easy to make big, bold statements and have a picture. It's hard to talk to a neighbor. It's hard to look someone in the eye as they tell you of their pain. You see, that's the hard stuff. We've been programmed now for years to be social media activists. What's that gotten us? What's that gotten you? Have we seen a change? Will Smith said the other day, it's not that there's more racism, it's just that it's being filmed. I think he's probably right there. You know, with what happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis, would we even known about it? Would it have even made the news had somebody not filmed it? Probably not. But social media has made us social media activists. We don't engage with our community. We just post pictures about it. We don't engage with our neighbors. We just put motivational sayings on our Facebook and Instagram page. And so my question is, where has it gotten us? If another 9/11 happened in this country tomorrow, do you think we'd come together like we did September 11, 2001? I don't think so. I think it's pretty clear we wouldn't. And so what we have now is we have just last week, how dare you go anywhere without a mask? And now this week, you have mayors inviting thousands and thousands of people out. Now, I'm okay with him inviting thousands and thousands of people out to peacefully protest. But the hypocrisy of it all, it's exhausting. Social media is exhausting. The news is exhausting. I mean, I am literally exhausted. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. What are some things we can do to shift focus, to shift priority, and still make an impact in the kingdom as we get to a place where we can, if we want to love our neighbor as ourselves, we got to get to a place where we can even love ourselves. What does that look like? What does these conversations look like? We'll talk more when we come back. History can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When you speak a word, it will come to pass. So today's conversation is an interesting one. We have, if you watch any news over the last week and a half, it's been an interesting thing to watch, because here's where I'm at. I'm for protesting, and I'm for standing against injustice, and I'm for standing for what's good and what's right, and standing against what's wrong. But I can't help but think, if the March for Life in Washington, D.C., that happens every January, 500,000 people, if at the end of that march or somewhere during that march, if we started busting out windows and we started looting and we started rioting, even if 1% of all those 500,000 people were participating in it and the 99% others were just marching, I just can't help but think that the cable news outlets would handle that type of rioting and looting a little bit different. Now, I'm not comparing. And I get frustrated when people say, well, you can't be pro-life and not stand for this or not stand for that. Again, it's exhausting, folks. It's exhausting. We all can't be there to stand for every single issue. We just can't. We can vocalize it. We can do our best. The Lord's given me a platform here, and I'm doing my best to voice it. But we have become a society that is so angry at everybody. So angry. I've watched interview after interview of these young men. Even some that have broken windows and rioted and looted. And their fists are clenched. And there's tears in their eyes because they're so angry. Now, if you ask them, what are you angry at? Why are you mad? Now, they might say something like systematic racism. They might say, I'm mad at the police. I'm mad at the system in general. But I have this feeling that if we dig deeper, we're going to find out a little bit more about them. But we've created an environment and an atmosphere where anger is celebrated. And if we can be transparent, we've done that politically. I mean, every politician now, that's become their thing. They're angry. The president, he's angry. Senators, they're angry. Congressmen, they're angry. Everybody's angry. And you would, if you just paid attention to social media and to cable news, you would think our streets were literally on fire. Now, granted, in some cities across this country, some streets literally were on fire. But the vast majority of our streets in this country, not on fire. They're just not. The vast majority of our populace are getting along just fine. The vast majority of our cops are serving and protecting and doing their job well. The vast majority of even those that are protesting are not seeking to ruin and damage and loot. They're not. But if we stay glued to our social media feeds, and if we stay glued to the cable news outlets, then that's all we are being fueled with is anger. Distress. I mean, just last night, Don Lemon on CNN said, we are teetering on dictatorship. He said that. Think about people that have actually lived in a dictatorship. He would have been shot if it was really a dictatorship. But see, we throw these angry lines out like it's nothing. We throw them out flippantly. And in the process, we don't connect with anybody. We currently are living in a time where we've literally been told, don't socialize with anyone. Don't give them a hug. Don't shake their hand. I met a guy today, and he's like, I would shake your hand, but I don't know. So we've been told to go into our homes, be away from everybody, don't socialize, and now we're being told, come out in masses to stand with your community. Well, I don't know. Did COVID just go away? Are we not supposed to be concerned about that anymore? You see, these are all questions that I'm sure all of you have asked yourself. But the answer isn't by turning into just a social media activist. And look, I get it. I get it. That's kind of our thing now. Look, Hope, at Hope, we use social media. We use Facebook. We use Instagram. I blogged yesterday. We use all of those things. But action needs to take place in our communities, with our neighbors, with our friends, at our churches, where we've been told not to go. And so we won't see a change. This is the same thing with abortion. I talk about this every single week. We won't see a change legislatively or at the Supreme Court level until we see a heart change in our communities. Period. That's just the truth. And it frustrates me when I see politicians that have been in elected office for decades, both Republican and Democrats, that are all of a sudden getting in front of a camera today saying, we are going to make a change. We are going to make a change. Okay, well, where were you 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Where were you, I don't know, 10 years ago? You didn't make a change then. It's the same reason I get frustrated when Republicans say, we're going to defund Planned Parenthood. Just elect us. Give us the House. Okay, we'll give you the House. Okay, well, we need the Senate. Okay, we gave you the Senate. Well, we need the Oval Office. Okay, we'll give you the Oval Office. Yeah, we're not going to defund them. They still haven't defunded them. You see how exhausting that is if you put all your hope in what goes on in Washington, D.C.? It's exhausting because it's just like Groundhog Day. You know the Bill Murray movie? It just keeps happening. The same thing over and over and over. And at some point, we have to look in the mirror and go, okay, enough's enough. I'm just going to love my community well. I'm going to serve my community. You know, one of the bright spots amongst all of this has been our local news outlets. Because they're reporting facts, many of them. They're actually talking to people on the ground. You're seeing the hurt and the pain. It isn't just to get clicks, it's to tell a story. To tell the story that's happening, not to make up one, not to push an agenda, not to push a narrative, but simply tell the story. And so we've seen glimpses during these protests. We've seen sheriffs stand up and say, look, we are not here to hurt y'all today. We're actually going to march with you. Let's keep it peaceful. We're going to put our batons down. You see, we can do that because we can call each other to something greater. And Christian, as you listen to this, the gospel is transformative. I think Mark Dever said it. He said that cities will come and go. Countries will come and go. But the one consistent through all of that, since for about 2,000 years, has been faith in Christ. The church, capital C, has withstood all of that. It's not a prop just to be given a photo op. That's not what it's about. The gospel should be transforming the community that you live in. That's where we start. Then you'll see that person as an image bearer. Then we'll see everybody around us as broken vessels that were made in the image of God, that have value, that matter. It's not that difficult. Once we wrap our minds around what Jesus meant when he said, love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You do that. Loving your neighbor is pretty easy. But we have trouble there. There's people that get under our skin. There's people that disagree with us. There's people that vote a different way than I do. How can I possibly love them? Yeah, because you've been called to do so. And so if I could encourage you as we finish up this second to last segment, put your phone down. Turn the news off. Talk to a neighbor. Play with your kids in the yard. Throw a ball with your son. Go for a bike ride. Look, we have to at some point go. Look, we have been, the reality, if I can say it, we've been social distancing for a long time because social media has made us distant from each other. Maybe, just maybe, we put that thing down and we actually get to know each other socially. Love our neighbor. Those are things we need to strive for. We'll talk more.
Old chains are breakable when we receive Yahweh. You keep your promises. If you said it, we believe it. If you said it, hey. If you said it, we believe it.
So as we finish up today, hopefully the conversations today has been fruitful. Look, we have a, if you can't tell, I'm wrestling with a lot of things in my mind and heart these days. My phone has become an idol. My phone has become my go-to. If I have any spare time, I grab it. If I'm sitting on the couch, I grab it. I'm scrolling Twitter. I'm looking through Facebook. I'm looking at Instagram. I'm looking online. I'm looking at Amazon. If I have any spare time, I grab it. I feel naked without it. And I'd be willing to bet a lot of you feel the same way. I feel like in these times with the pandemic and with protests and with unjust killings and all of these things happening, we feel like we have to be engaged 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as soon as we see a news story, we have to comment, we have to post, we have to make a statement. Folks, that's exhausting. You can't maintain that level. You just can't. We need advocates. We do. But there's so many issues. There's so many issues that matter. And so for me, and I've said this multiple times, for me, I care deeply about a lot of issues. But the one that I've climbed the mountain and stuck the flag in is the abortion issue. To me, that is the issue of our day. That even during this pandemic, even during these protests, we've still had close to 3,000 abortions every single day in this country. That's a problem. Look, I get that some people, they care deeply about the issue. They don't want to see abortion to continue, but that's not the thing that drives them. They haven't climbed to the mountain and said, abortion, that's it. That's where I'm going to stake it. I don't fault them for that. I used to. But I don't fault them for that. I know people that care deeply about life, but they focus their attention on human trafficking. They care deeply about life, but they focus their attention on racism. They care deeply about life, but they focus their attention on fill in the blank. So at some point, we can't keep shaming our neighbors because they didn't put out a statement quick enough. I'm sorry, I don't have a publicist. I'm sorry, maybe I decided this weekend to put my phone down and spend it with my family. We can't demand statements from people all the time. It's not fair. And shaming our neighbors, it's not fair. That doesn't mean they don't care. And so I would just caution you. Love your neighbor well. Pray for your pastors during this time. Pray for our country during this time. Pray for business owners. Pray for those that are protesting. Pray for the law enforcement. Pray for leaders to step up and actually lead, for goodness sake. But I'm tired. Anyone else tired? I mean, when do we get a break? And maybe the answer to that is in a post-Genesis 3 world, we don't get a break. But here's what I know you can do to get a little bit of a break. Put your phone down. Turn the TV off. And when I say turn the TV off, I mainly mean turn it off the news for just a little bit. You don't have to be being fed all of that all the time. It brings about depression, anxiety, worry, fear. When we're watching TV and a trailer for a movie comes on and it's like a scary movie, and you know they have the trailers and you can tell by the music, okay, this is going to be a little scary. My kids immediately start going, la, 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 and they close their eyes. That's not because I told them to do that, but it's because watching that brings about anxiety and fear for them, and they don't even want to ingest it. They don't even want their eyes to see it or their ears to hear it. So maybe we need to think about that. What are we taking in, ingesting in through our eyes and through our ears? And what's it doing for our quality of life? I'm not telling you to disengage. Engage with your communities. Love your neighbors. Love your family. Stand up for what's right and stand against what's wrong. That's what we've been compelled to do as gospel people. But maybe we're using the wrong tools at the moment. We can do better. We'll talk next week. Everybody run, run, hey, hey.